and Tony Martin.
And today, joining us live from the US, Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi. That's the real Richie Sambora, not one of us doing a silly voice. He's on board and ready to spill the beans about the upcoming Jovi tour. Also today, our next Governor General, Sir William Dean. What's his story? Who's he barracked for? Should he have been a woman? Today, we slap him in a frock in an attempt to please everybody. Also, we'll ask Dieter and Melissa, are they living a lie? Hugh Hefner, he's putting the Playboy Mansion on the market. We take you for an inspection. And Mick Molloy unveils his hilarious new Michael Winslow-style comedy act. We've got Radio Gladiators and, like I mentioned, Mr. Heather Locklear himself, all coming up on the program that prize-winning author Helen Demidenko describes as the best thing she's ever heard. And, hey, she wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. Martin Molloy. Essay. Check it out, John Mellencamp. Good afternoon, Australia, and welcome to another round of Martin Molloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who was so desperate to become Australia's first female Governor General. He fronted up at Yarralumla yesterday, dressed a la Hugo Weaving in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, but to no avail, Mick Molloy.
It was more your Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, really?
When I got round to it, yes.
Well, I'm hoping to see the photos after the program, but anyway, as we mentioned, the new Governor-General, High Court Justice Sir William Dean, is ready to step in when Bill Hayden moves out on February 15th. And Mick, you've been running a make on him. Mm. Give us the Dino story.
Well, this is what we know so far, Tone. Sir William Dean, Dino, ex-High Court, hobby farmer, horse owner, founding member of the Chippendales. Perfect. Here's an interesting fact not many people know. He's only got one eye.
Is that right?
This is fact. Mm-hmm. He lost one playing rugby at uni.
Okay.
And it's true, because I saw a portrait of him hung for the Archibald Prize.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, because when you walk around the room, only one eye follows you.
Right.
Yeah, it's very interesting indeed. He's a bit of a wag too. So for the first time in this country's history, we could have a Governor-General capable of popping the glass eye into a drink at high-level diplomatic meetings, which to me is more important than becoming a republic.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how to forge an international reputation.
No arguments here.
Absolutely. Okay, now, bit of advice, Dino, mon friend. I hope to God you check it out. This is before he moves in to his new digs.
Yarralumla.
I hope he checks it out before he signs the lease, because if I know Bill Hayden, it'll be an absolute pigsty. He had a bond-breaking do the other night, and it was like that Peter Sellers movie, The Party. Naked cabinet members running through rooms full of soap suds, greenies painting graffiti on the side of an elephant, which in this case was Kim Beazley.
Sure.
John Howard rode a motorbike up the front steps and into the dining room. Ralph Willis smashed every window in the joint with a 9-iron. Seriously, if he went round to inspect now, he wouldn't know whether he was moving into Yarralumla or the Playboy Mansion. Now, as I said, Dino's a hobby farmer, so it'll be interesting to see what he does with a garden, especially when he sees what Bill's planted. I don't think we can say Bill's a hobby farmer, really, considering his plants currently have a street value of $3.5 million. So that's my advice. Before you check it out, get yourself a real estate agent, a lawyer, and maybe an exorcist, because there's been some stuff going on there that, well, let's just hope this whole thing goes ahead and we don't have another Waco-style incident on our hands.
Here's hoping, Mick. But Sir William's appointment has received praise from the pollies, but stinging criticism from the women's movement, because until late yesterday, Arvo, the smart money was on a female Governor-General. Mm. Among the favourites, National Gallery Director Betty Churcher, former head of the family court Elizabeth Evatt, and TV Week stalwart Kimberly Davies. And no disrespect to Dino, but I think that would have been the way to go. In fact, I've been compiling a bit of a list here, if you don't mind, of high-profile Australian women who could fit the bill. See what you think. Mm. Carmen Lawrence, although she says she can't recall hearing anything about the job becoming vacant.
What about Fury from the Gladiators? Oh. She'd be good. You know, powwows with visiting dignitaries could be conducted in the Atlas Fairs. Please welcome my husband, Sir Tai Pan, as a night ring to it. Although under the job's strict guidelines, I think she'd have to keep the tats hidden. What about one of our intellectuals? Prize-winning author Helen Demidenko. Mm. She might not have the right qualifications, but she could just pretend she wouldn't know and be any the wiser. But let's see, what is the Governor-General's job description exactly? Let's see, it's showing up at social events. Mm. Nobody's really sure exactly what it is you do. Of course, Kate Fisher. But lay on me here on Martin Molloy. And Mick, a big story broke yesterday and it's affected a lot of people. Uh-huh. A lot of people are quite cut up about it. And I know a lot of the staff here at the station haven't bothered coming into work today. Mm-hmm. They're reassessing their lives and I think really wondering if it's worth going on.
Sure.
Because I'm talking about the story on the front of yesterday's TV Week. Melissa and Dieter's real-life rift. Could this be their last picture together? Screams the headline that's hit so many Australians like a kick in the guts. Mm. Says the story, and listen to this, on screen their characters, Shane and Angel, are TV's happiest couple, but away from the set they have absolutely nothing in common. Mm. And their off-screen feud has reached the point where they refuse to do photo shoots together for UK publications. Dieter is bored with the way everything is Shane and Angel this, Shane and Angel that, and it's always more Angel than Shane with his character left in the background. Yeah. Melissa loves the limelight. The first night's the publicity. Dieter hates it and laughs at how much she loves it, unquote, from the pages of TV Week. So what we've got here is a classic chalk stroke cheese situation. Dieter's obviously a kind of moody, brooding sort of a Mickey Rourke figure. That's who he is. He's Australia's Mickey Rourke. Edgy, distant, a loner, playing by his own rules. And to someone like that, like Dieter, home and away must be a living hell.
Oh.
It must be a straitjacket for him. You know, he wants to be out there swinging at the fences. He must look at the Aussie Brat Pack. You know, the Mendelssohns, the Noah Taylors, the Aidan Youngs. They're out there with leather jackets on, looking a bit stubbly, a bit dangerous, doing the metal skins, having the whole moody, broody Brad Pitt, Inner City Alienation, James Dean for the 90s, getting photographed in the Nutty for Black and White magazine cake. And he'd be wanting a bite of that.
Oh, sure.
Because he's got that Brando quality.
Don't tell me.
He'll be living on his own island in Tahiti before too long. Mark my words, Broomer Island. It'll be on all the maps. But he must be showing up for work at Summer Bay day in, day out. And who does he see sitting opposite him? Melissa George, and she obviously loves showbiz TV Week style, hanging out with the other Melissas and the Kimberleys, going to the Logies dressed as a pumpkin, getting to rump shoulders with the Sweets, with the Daddos, with the Elmer Loglies. She's into it. And she's going, you know, she must be giving him just all the time. Oh, Dieter, who do you think's going to get the silver this year? Oh, Dieter, what about the gold? Will it be Ray? Will it be Daryl? Will it be Daryl? Will it be Ray? Will Sweetie get the nod? And Dieter's just snapped. I don't care. I don't bloody care. Leave me alone. No, bugger your photos for TV hits. And I'm worried, Mick. Mm. I'm worried for Dieter because it's only a matter of time before he does something stupid like take up boxing. But it's an oh-so-familiar story, isn't it?
Yeah.
The happy TV couple who hate each other off-screen.
It's all too familiar, Tony. You're familiar with the bananas in pyjamas, aren't you? You are?
Yeah.
B1 and B2. Yeah. Big problems there.
Is that right?
I don't think it'll be long before the tabloids start running the banana split headlines they've been sitting on for a while. The problem, as I understand it, is, Tone, and I need your ear here to sound this out, is B1 is, well, apparently having a hard time keeping the pyjamas on,
if you
know what I mean, yeah.
Right.
B1 was seen out in the town with, well, let's just call her B3, who has a history of working the streets, hangs out on the corner, people walk by, slip her up, it's cheap thrills, she's anybody's. Yeah. B2 found out, confronted B1, who didn't deny it, and actually suggested a banana trois.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm not joking, Tony. I know it's hard to believe. Another time, B2 came home, caught them in bed doing it Sunday style. You know, ice cream, chocolate topping. Yeah, you know, you're getting me drift, Tone. B1 and B3. You know where I'm coming from. The most damaging allegation, and here it comes, is that of domestic violence. Oh, now, really? Go with, apparently, yeah. B1 has been beating B2 up. B2 was seen the other day with severe bruising around his eyes. His skin had that black, soft, inedible look. He said he was just left out in the sun too long, but no one's really buying it. We know the truth. Look, I'm going to play a tape for you, Tone. It's pretty harrowing. Sensitive listeners might will want to tune out. This is a tape B1's lawyers played during a court hearing earlier today, and I must stress, it is very distressing. Hello, CIB.
Hello, this is B1. You've got to send someone round there quick.
What's going on here?
It's B2, he's gone right off.
You've got it, you've had the oranges here, haven't you?
Oh, I'll be completely bruised black by the morning.
You've had the oranges, man.
Quick, he's going to peel me.
Why are you going to come here?
I'll be stabbed.
Yes, it's the program that is going to air. Martin Malloy, and in the next hour we'll be joined by Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi. Mm. The Big Jovi machine on its way out.
I've got plenty to ask him.
You're going to be asking, are we allowed to ask about his wife, of course, married to Heather Locklear?
I think we should make a pact now not to mention it, because I just think it's not only insensitive, but he's an artist in his own right. Yeah. I think we should just ignore that completely. Agreed?
And that'll end in tears. Okay, it's a deal. And that's in the next hour. And, of course, Rad's on the way, but I believe right now it's time for another...
Almost amusing personal anecdote.
From Mick Malloy.
That's right. And remember, listeners, the key phrase there is... almost amusing. No, this is something out of real life, Tone, something that happened to me just the other morning. Yep. I live alone. I live with my girlfriend. We live in a house. Everything's cool. And that's how we operate. Mm. Everyone knows that. My mum has a couple of dogs, and occasionally she leaves them over when she's not around, and we mind them for a couple of days.
Sure. Anyway,
on this particular occasion, we were minding the dogs. Now, up in the morning, and I'm getting out of the shower, and this is what something's gone horribly wrong, because I hear all sorts of noise. I get out, and there's my girlfriend, who's basically got this dog out the back, and she is giving it to him. She's going, "Don't you ever piss on the carpet again. You hear me? I'm not joking. I'll rub your nose in it, you bad boy. Now stay out. You'll never come in this house again. You hear me? You hear me?" And then just slam the back door shut. Yeah. Anyway, I thought, "Oh, that's a bit hard." And, you know, settle down. So we've had some brekkie. You know, about an hour later, I'm leaving the house. My neighbour's in the front yard. He pulls me aside and he goes, "Mick, I know it's none of my business, but is everything okay between you and Soph?" Because I couldn't help hearing, and by this stage I'm going, "Oh, no." He's going, "Now, if you need to talk to anyone," and he must have meant it, because I noticed he had a rolled-up newspaper in one hand, a preventative measure, perhaps on the off chance I might try and tunnel under the fence and take a dump in his veggie patch. But I thought, you know, what are the chances of that happening? And who's going to know? Living alone, there you go. And
it's a mix-up.
It's a comical mix-up, yeah. That I've used to my advantage. But this got me thinking. It's always hard when you get up in the morning and you notice that there's been an accident by the dog. Mm. What is worse than that, I reckon, is the piss that goes undetected. And that's the time bomb. I call it the time bomb. It's just lying. It's around the house. Go off any time. You don't know. Because young Barty boy dropped a time bomb. And he had what he'd done was he'd taken a bit of a leak on our fan heater. And this had gone undetected. So anyway, we're getting ready to entertain. We're having people over for dinner. It's getting a bit nippy. So I go, "You know, babe, maybe I should turn on the heater." So we crank it up. And next thing you know, we're pumping the smell of dog urine all throughout the dining room. You know, all we needed was a few of those little yellow lollies you find in men's urinals scattered around the place. And hey, we're ready for visitors.
This is Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy, and time for
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Thank Thanks, Pete. And today it's a challenge. We've done this before. It's, well, it's stories. It's made a dick of myself stories. It's stories where you've perhaps said the wrong thing, done the wrong thing, put your foot in your mouth, Jeffrey Kennett style. That's the kind of thing we're looking for. And I believe today our producer, Gracie, is actually witness to a bit of a made a dick of myself situation on the weekend. What happened, Gracie? Tell us about it.
Well, I did it myself, actually. I'm at a party the other night for Graham Simpson, who writes the Rock 40 Countdown, which is on this station, and ran into an old friend there, and he said, well, have you seen much of The Simpsons lately? And I said, oh, I don't know. They're just not as good as they used to be. They're not as much fun, you know. Ah, he's stupid. I don't like her hair, and those kids just drive me mad. And he just sort of looked at me and said, yeah, good on you, and walked away. And his wife said, well, if you hate him so much, what are you doing here? And that's when I found, that's when I heard the You've Made a Dick of Yourself music playing.
We rest our case.
But of course, all was explained and a happy ending for all, and everyone got a 3-pack of CDs at the end of the night and went home happy, which brings me to the prizes. A fabulous 3-pack of CDs, including the new Alanis Morissette album. And when we were trying to line up the...
Say it again, Tone.
3-pack of CDs.
No, no, the other bit.
Alanis Morissette. Oh, it's a fun name to say.
I love it.
You know, if you're sitting at home and the TV's on the blink, just sit around saying Alanis Morissette to yourself, and it's just hours of entertainment.
And just one component over the 3-pack.
Oh, yeah. And the other two, can't say what they are. Shrouded in mystery. But if you want to get hold of the 3-pack, it's just as simple as calling us up and telling us how you or someone you know. Is it, should it be yourself or can it be someone else?
Well, everyone says a friend of mine anyway. Okay. You know,
we're just looking for decent made a dick of myself stories. We've got a 3-pack of CDs and we've got $200 with your name on it. Call now, 1-800-657-657. Yes, this is Radio Gladiators on Martin Molloy. That was Meryl Bainbridge, Under the Water. And today we're looking for stories where you've made a bit of a dick of yourself. It's as simple as that.
Do you get some idiot callers? I've got to say we get some idiot callers, don't we? Hey, mate, can you tell me quick as you can? Because I've got to go. I'm on air in 30 seconds. And they just, okay. So anyway, I walked into McDonald's and ordered a Whopper. Yeah, mate, quick as you can. I've only got 15 seconds, mate. I'm going on air. Yeah, so anyway, I've looked and I decided, no, I didn't want the Whopper. Mate, look, shut up. I'm not here. Shut up.
And it's amazing how many people call up and go, well, why don't you just tell us exactly what you did on your show for the last 45 minutes. And then, you know, and when you get home, they've also delivered a whole lot of pizzas to your house.
Absolutely. Oh, I hate
but
that.
We have got some coherent people on the line. Have we got Jeremy there? Jeremy?
Yeah, mate.
What exactly happened to you?
Well, a couple of years ago, I started to work in a bank, and I was serving this bloke at the counter.
You did make a dig of yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, started working in a bank, that's bad enough. But serving this bloke in the counter, and I turned around to one of the blokes that I was working with, you know, trying to be funny, new at the job and all the rest of it, and I said, have a go at this bloke, will you? How gay is this bloke? And he said, oh, yeah, I'd like to meet me brother. This is David.
Oh, right. So, and of course, the bloke wasn't gay. But
it was
Priscilla Queen of the Desert theme day at the bank.
Yeah,
and come
right
in the full Guy Pearce.
The high heels gave it away. I thought.
And how did your colleague take the news?
Oh, I know he was all right about it. It was just a bit of a foot in mouth. The old music started and all the rest of it, and I was on the ground.
All right,
okay, Jeremy, that's not bad. Let's see what Ben's got to offer. Are you there, Ben?
No, I think it might be Bruce.
Hello? Oh. No, it's Ben's mum.
Oh, what's happened to Ben? Stage fright?
What happened was Ben's dad thought he got pretty groovy one day and went and got a flat top, and the next morning he got up to go to work and thought he grabbed the bit of the old hair mousse to get the hair standing up, and what he grabbed was an air hair remover.
Oh, right. Ben's dad wouldn't be Greg Matthews, would he?
And what happened to Ben?
Ben chickened out.
Oh, so Ben chickened out, did he? He's frightened he might make a dick of himself again.
Yeah.
Couldn't have that.
His father did a good enough job of that. He lost all the hair on the top of his head.
All right. Well, thanks, Ben's mum. And thank you, Ben, anyway. Have we got Bruce there? Bruce?
Yeah.
What happened to you, son?
I'm a cleaner, and I was working at a kindergarten, and we're trying to get some more work out of them, trying to impress them. They're a bit wary of me.
Yeah.
And I worked with headphones on and was singing at the top of my voice one day while I was crooning, I'm on the drug that killed River Phoenix.
All right, the Tism song.
Yeah.
That's right. And the director of the kindergarten walked in at that moment while I'm sort of dancing around the room singing it at the top of my voice.
Oh, well.
Oh, dear. So you're in the kindergarten on your own.
Yeah.
Repeating the phrase, I'm on the drug, I'm on the drug, I'm on the drug that killed River Phoenix.
That's right.
Well, it could have been worse. You could have been singing, I've been rolling down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind. But I think that's our winner today, Bruce. You've bagged the $200 and, of course, the three-pack of CDs.
Are you happy about the three-pack?
Oh, absolutely.
You've been dreaming about it, haven't you?
You know, well, now you can listen to, maybe you can tape the three-pack of CD, put the tapes in your Walkman and listen to the three-pack while you work.
No, not again.
Well, it's all yours and you spend that $200 however you want, sir. And thanks for playing Radio Gladiators.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll be back in the next hour and we'll be talking Jovi, people, live with Richie Sambora. Second hour and we're pretty excited because we've got a bloke on the phone now who, well, he's the lead axe man for Bon Jovi. He's the only musician ex-husband of Cher's not to go into politics, and he's currently shacked up with everyone's favourite super bitch, Heather Locklear. He's on his way down here as part of the concert of the summer. Make him welcome, it's Richie Sambora. Richie, I hope we didn't wake you.
You guys gave me a break. You didn't wake me up.
Great. Now, what have you been doing today? What's a typical day for Richie Sambora?
Well, actually, today has been a day off. It's actually been quite hectic. It started out, at the end of April in Bombay, India.
Right.
And this tour has now taken us through the Far East and Japan and Malaysia and Indonesia, Kuala Lumpur, Korea, Taipei, China. All through Europe, and we've been doing stadiums all through there, and all the stadiums have been sold out, so it's been quite amazing, actually.
So you finally got a day off.
I finally got a day off, and it's the first one since April, thank you.
And how long does this go on for, this tour?
This madness continues throughout January 1st, and we take a few months off. Actually, John's going to go do another movie, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
And in that 3 months, he'll do that movie, and I'll get a chance to be with my lovely wife, of course.
Yes.
And then after that, we got to go back. We start in South Africa. We're going to continue and do another trip to Japan and some other wild places that we haven't been yet. So
you're not going to be able to get all those places on the tour T-shirt, are you?
I don't think so. I think you know what happens to these people who route my tours. They just put a map up and they throw numbered darts. And wherever these damn things land, that's where I'm going.
So, Richie, what can Australian audiences expect from the show? Is this true? We've heard you do 2.5 hours on stage?
Sometimes three.
Crikey, that's a bit of a workout, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I gotta hold on 1 second.
Oh, what's happening here?
Have I offended him?
He's forgotten to put the bins out.
I'm back.
What happened, Richie?
In trouble with the missus?
Somebody at my gate.
Okay.
I'll put you guys on hold for just a second.
Okay.
I'm back.
Okay. We were hoping to get a bit of Bon Jovi music when you put us on hold.
Yeah, I don't know. What were you guys hearing?
Oh, I think we were hearing the Birdie song. Oh, you wouldn't know that. Never mind.
Oh, I have some jazz station on hold, huh?
Yeah. Now, listen, you mentioned John's acting career. Is he a changed man now that he's getting into the acting? Is he getting a bit sort of, you know, up himself?
Nah. No, it's actually good. I'm really glad that he's going to go do that. I think that it's important that everybody, you know, does do something individually that takes them someplace in the arts. I mean, and John is just, he's just trying his hand at acting. It's something he always wanted to do. And, you know, it kind of leaves me some time to do solo albums and things like that. So I'm very happy with it.
Right, because you guys have worked together. You've been writing together now for about 15 years. It's quite a long time. Does it come naturally? You guys just sit down and bang out some tunes, or how does it work?
No, I mean, it does come kind of naturally. I think that it's a really great chemistry that we have, John and I. I mean, when we sit down, I think that both of us are talented songwriters, so when we do sit down, it's a good kind of a debate. It's a healthy debate. You know, that's the best way I can put it.
Absolutely.
That's the way we write.
Is there a lot of friction? Do you go, well, I reckon it should be, my guitar lies bleeding in my arms, and he's going, no, I reckon dead's more powerful than bleeding. Is there a lot of to and fro?
No, there's not too many arguments, but the arguments that we do have, we enjoy.
Now, what was it like getting back into the studio? You hadn't done an album for about 3 years, had you?
Yes and no. I guess we were in right after the tour happened. the record company had asked us if we would, you know, we were taking time writing this new, the new album these days, and we're having such a good time of it, we decided to keep on going. And it was actually the record company's brainchild that kind of said, you know, would you guys put out a greatest hits package? And we went, I don't know, because that kind of earmarks the end of a band or something, usually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we just said, all right, let them put it out. But so then we stuck a couple of new songs on there, too. So we had to go in and actually record some of those.
Because a lot of bands put out Greatest Hits Volume 1, and you just know there's never going to be a Volume 2.
That's true. Well, luckily, I think we have enough hits for a Volume 2 already.
Oh, good on you.
That's kind of cool, but I don't know when that's going to be.
Now, what about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? You guys are opening the joint, is that right?
Yeah, in Cleveland. I think it's on September the 7th, actually.
It's actually the 2nd, Richie, so you might want to change your diary.
Oh, it is. It's the second. So you guys know better than me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't pay attention to those things, you know. They just point me in the right direction. They go, there's the stage. I go, okay.
Tell you what, we'll stay on hold for a while, and you go and sack your secretary, okay?
I'll go check my diary, see what it says. I was actually looking at my schedule before.
Now, what's the story with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Hasn't it been under construction for some time? Has it been sinking into the ground? Why has it taken them so long to build the bloody thing?
You know, I haven't been there, so I really don't know. I'm actually looking forward to it.
There'll be one gig there, and the joint will be totally trashed in rock and roll tradition.
Right, man. Everybody gets up on stage, and just the sound itself will just drive the joint right into the ground.
Wouldn't you hate to be the person living next door to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I reckon they'd call the council a fair
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. Hey, you guys got to hold on 1 second. I'm sorry.
Okay. He's going. They tell me it's the bloody 2nd. You said 7th. My guitar's not going to be back from the shop by the 2nd.
Hi, I'm back.
There you go. What the hell's going on there, Richie? What are you up to?
You know, I got people delivering mail or something. I don't know what's going on.
A couple of guitar-shaped packages have just arrived.
That's right. It's actually true.
Now, Richie, we just...
How'd you know that, man? They're delivering. That's how come I had to put you guys on hold. Actually, Fender just sent me a couple of new guitars.
Now, Richie, we're going to have to put you on hold for just a second while we play a bit of your music. We'll be back in just a moment with Richie Sambora on Martin Malloy. Always, that's your Bon Jovi right there. And of course, the Jovi machine on its way down under come November. And we've got Richie Sambora on the phone now. Richie, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Now, Richie, you mentioned your lovely wife. Tell me, do you watch Melrose Place?
Yes, I do. Hey, can you hold on 1 more second? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We'll put your tape on hold for a second.
Sure. You know what it is now? I told them not to ask any questions about the missus. You know it's a sensitive subject. You know that stuff about me not liking her in the short skirts is bullshit?
I'm back.
There you are. Now, Richie, I said, do you watch Melrose Place? Do you really sit down on a Tuesday night?
Yes, I do. I actually do, and I really like it a lot. Actually, it's really cool, man. Everybody's such a bitch on that show. It's fun to watch.
Now, do you have to run lines with your wife, you know, at home, around the house?
Sometimes I do, yeah.
And which character do you
play? I know it's going to happen way before it happens.
And do you play the character of Billy or something like that while she does a scene?
Yes, I'm the bitch. I play the bitch one. Right. I love it.
Is it real-life drama? Is like, you know, an episode of Melrose Place kind of like a day at home at the Sambora household?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Day at home at the Sambora's is a lot more peaceful and a lot more fun than Melrose Place, I'll tell you that. And it's a lot dirtier, too.
Is that right?
Oh, happy to hear it. Is that why we're on hold all the time?
You come over to Sambora's house and see what's happening over there, I'll tell you what.
Now, something we always ask bands when we get them on the program, Richie, is you would have seen the film Spinal Tap, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any Spinal Tap moments, any moments on stage or backstage where you've gone, this is just like out of Spinal Tap?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember the first time I ever played Madison Square Garden, you know, the big famous venue in New York City.
Right.
And we just had come out with our first record, and it actually wasn't even out of the market yet, but we somehow found ourselves opening up for ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah.
So I say to the guys, I go, you know what? I said, hey, check this out. I'll walk out there and I'll do this guitar solo for a couple seconds, like 25 seconds or 30 seconds or something like that. And when I get done, we'll break right into the song. And it's a kind of a guitar-orientated crowd, so let's do that. And they went, okay, cool. So I get out there, and I'm in front of 20,000 people. I hit the first chord of the guitar. The amplifier blows up. Smoke starts coming out of the amplifier head. And I'm standing there in silence. It seems like everything goes into slow motion. The roadies are running around. They hear, oh, no! Right? The people start chanting, ZZ Top, ZZ Top. I said, this is brilliant. So anyway, we did about a 40-minute set in about 17 minutes, and it was the fastest set of all time. we were like young boys trying to do something good in bed. You know what I'm saying?
And what did the guys?
It was a total Spinal Tap situation.
And what did the guys from ZZ Top have to say to you?
They were very, very nice and very, very cordial to us. They treated us fantastically.
Now, Richie, we've heard a lot about the music and everything, but what do you do in your spare time? I mean, are you racing cars? Are you saving rainforests? What do you get up to?
No saving rainforests for me.
No?
Actually, there hasn't been too much spare time. Basically, what I like to do is sit on a beach, basically. I like to boat. I like to do some boating and some jet skiing and sporting events, things like that. That's my spare time. I really don't have a lot of it, so it's basically just spending some time with my, you know, with my wife.
Now, you're coming down under with, I believe you're going to be supported by our own Jimmy Barnes.
Yeah, Barnes is a good friend, man. Yeah, we play with him, we jam with him a bunch of times.
And is there a chance that he's going to jump up on stage and do a bit of a duet?
He better. If he don't, I'm going to be mad. I'm certainly going to jump up with him whether he likes it or not.
Don't blow up his amp.
Yeah, well, he doesn't need it, man. He's a great performer.
All right, thanks for your time today, Richie.
Hey, good to speak to you guys, Mick. All right, Tony, take care, man.
Cheers. See you in November.
We now return you to Abnormal Programming. Mutton Malloy.
Mick, Playboy magazine kingpin Hugh Hefner is back in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, you may remember, we revealed his plan to leave his body to medical science. That paints an interesting mental picture, doesn't it? A class full of med students conducting experiments on a corpse still wearing silk pajamas and a permanent grin. But now it seems after 20 years, Hugh is moving out of his famous Playboy mansion, having grown weary of the endless nude photo sessions that are shot there. Because, you know, Hugh had no idea that sort of thing was going on when he bought the place.
Absolutely.
You know, there was no mention of that on the estate agent's sign out the front. You know, he didn't know that spectacular views meant 25 nude women tossing a beach ball around the back lawn. No, the ad in the paper didn't say, behind this charming facade is an elegant mansion boasting warmth, character, and a small army of pneumatically breasted Amazons covered in baby oil. Well, actually it did, but he just assumed that was the agents talking the place
exactly
up. You know how they do that? But anyway, his 1,800 square metre mansion is still used for photo sessions for the nude Playmate of the Month feature. Said a spokesman, imagine coming down to that every morning.
Yeah, well, it's true, Tone. You don't understand because you don't have to put up with it. Me and Hugh, we kind of do. And I know he comes down every morning. He comes into the kitchen. There'll be a nude woman there. He goes, how are you? She goes, Miss June. He goes, God, is it tax time already? And off he goes. That's how matter-of-factly it is for him.
It's driving him mad. Like you see, he goes to the fridge for, say, a midnight snack, and there's just nude women in the kitchen pouring cartons of milk over each other. Goes into the lounge to read the paper, looking for a bit of quiet. Nude women writhing about with pythons on the, you know, leopard skin rug.
Yep.
Tries to go out for a drive. Nude women rolling around on the bonnet of his Ferrari while more nude women spray him with a garden hose. He can't get a thing done. He's at his wit's end.
It's not fair.
And his wife's jack of it too. She's a former Playmate of the Year herself who appears in the new issue of Playboy, but for a good cause, on behalf of her new passion, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And she's particularly opposed, it says here, to experiments on rabbits being conducted by cosmetic companies, which seems a bit ironic to me, because at least those bunnies are being squeezed into painfully tight costumes and forced to high heel around giving lap dances to piss blokes. She should have a word to Hugh, I think, before she gets down on the, you know, Lancome or whoever's doing all this experimental work.
You speak the truth, T. Martin.
But anyway, she and Hef have put the mansion on the market and attention buyers, because you don't just get the mansion. Hef is also throwing in, listen to this, his cherished art treasures and rare religious articles, and they mean a lot to him. He's always said he only bought the mansion for the articles.
Yeah.
Time for us to sign off here at Martin Malloy. And Mick, anything you want to get off your chest?
I'd just like to say, how are you feeling, buddy? You feeling all right?
Yeah, not too bad.
I'm very proud of you, and I was going to mention it earlier, but I thought, no, I'd let you get through the show.
Yeah, what's happened?
Well, you put your back out, didn't you? And you want to know how he did it, people? He did it slagging off Dieter Brummer. Now, let that be a lesson to you. We're a couple of professionals. We know what we're doing most of the time. But my good buddy here, over in the other chair. He's put his back out, paying out Dieter Brummer, and he just soldiered on like a trooper. He never said anything. And we've got to the end of the show, and hats off to you, bud. You really are. You're a one in a million.
Time for us to go. Thanks to our guests today, Richie Sambora, Kevin Costner, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Big Maxie Walker.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived...
Stay in bed on Thursday.